If possible, it would be good for you to open your Bible to the Gospel of John, chapter 11 and verse 16. We left off there yesterday talking about the total dedication of Thomas. It's a strange thing that when we think of Thomas, usually, and I'm just as guilty as you are, we usually think of doubting Thomas. We'll always, you mention Thomas, the first thing somebody will say, oh, that's doubting Thomas, who came into the upper room after the resurrection, and they said to him, Jesus is alive, Jesus has been raised from the dead, and he said, I'll believe it when I see it. He said, I'll believe it when I can stick my hand into the side where he was wounded. I'll believe it when I can put my fingers on the place where the nails went into his hands. He was doubting at that particular time. He wanted proof, more proof than just the word of another man. But it's strange that when we think of Thomas, we think of him as doubting Thomas. And I guess that's true of all situations. We'll always pick the weakest character of a man, and that's the way we will remember him. It seems sort of natural whenever a preacher is discussed or considered, they'll discuss and consider his weakest point, not his strongest point. And it may be true and is true of just about all other Christians and people. We will immediately think of their weaker side or some mistake that they might have made rather than thinking of the good side and the good things that they have done. That should be a lesson to us today in the attitude that we ought to have in approaching the thoughts that we have concerning another born-again child of God. So from now on, whenever you think of Thomas, you can think of him as doubting or at least wanting more proof than just the word of the other disciples about the resurrection. You can do that. But let's first of all think of him as one who said, I'll die with him. It makes no difference. I love him enough. I'm dedicated to him enough. I believe he is God. I believe he is the Messiah that God sent to save Israel. I believe in him so much until I'll go with him wherever he goes. And if I have to have punishment, if I have to be jailed, or if I have to die, I'll be willing to die with him. We need that kind of dedication in our churches today. But we have many today, even in the clergy, if I can use that expression, many ministers, preachers today who will back away when the going gets tough, and it won't take them long until they're willing to deny. Or they'll first start denying the virgin birth, and then they'll deny that the Bible is true, and then they'll deny something else so that they can go along with their peers and they can be recognized and they can be at friends with those who are in higher authority. Then we have even fundamental preachers today who will back away from the standards that they know to be truth. They know to be Bible standards. They know that that's the way God would have it. They'll back away with it, from it rather, just to get crowds to come or just to appease someone's opinion. Well, praise God, Thomas wasn't that kind of man. He was dedicated to the point he said, I'll go and I'll die with him. And then verse 17, then when Jesus came, he found that he had lain in the grave 4 days already. That's Lazarus had been dead, and they had put him in the grave, which they did the very day he died. They put him in the ground in those days, or in the tomb, in the rock there. Immediately after he died, he had been dead for 4 days, so his body had begun to decay. Naturally, they did not embalm in those days. They did use spices, I understand, but as they did on the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. But, of course, that would delay the decay somewhat. But by the end of 4 days, he would already have begun to decay, as we'll see here in a little bit later on. Now, he was dead. This was a fact. Jesus wanted it, thoroughly understood that Lazarus had died. He did not raise him from his sick bed, though he had raised many from their sick beds. He wanted to raise Lazarus from the dead to make a special emphasis upon the fact that he is the resurrection and the life. Now, we'll see that in these following verses, that Jesus Christ is glorified, the disciples are instructed, Mary and Martha are encouraged, and great things happened because Jesus delayed coming for 4 days, but when he got there, he was dead. Everybody knew it. There are those who would say Jesus did not die, that he just swooned on the cross, and that he was taken out of the grave by the disciples later on when he came back too. But there are actually many proofs that Jesus actually died. But there's no mistaking about this one either. Lazarus was in the grave 4 days. Now, Bethany was nigh to Jerusalem, about 15 furlongs off. That's just a little geographical note telling us where Bethany was. And many of the Jews came to Martha and Mary to comfort them concerning their brother. So they knew he was dead, and they came to comfort Mary and Martha. They came to mourn. I suppose in those days they had paid mourners who would come to demonstrate mourning. So they came to comfort them concerning their brother. They believed and they knew that he was dead. So in this particular resurrection from the dead, there can be no doubt of the power of the Lord Jesus Christ to raise from the dead. Not only himself, God raised him from the dead, but he could raise others from the dead. Now, this within itself should have let everybody in the known world at that time who heard about this know that Jesus was God, for only God can give life. You know, that's one thing that we have seen here in recent years. We've got an awful lot of folks who have claimed in recent years that they had a special power of healing the body, that God had anointed them with some special power, that they could pray over the sick and the sick would be well. And thousands and thousands and millions have flocked out to these meetings to see so-called healings of the body. But so far, you haven't seen any of them raise the dead, have you? Well, the power of God that can heal the sick is the same power of God that can raise the dead. So, my dear friend, just open your eyes a little bit. Open your mind to the truth of God's Word, not to everything that comes along, but the truth of God's Word, and realize that Jesus Christ is God. He alone can give life. Not only can he give physical life, but he is able to give spiritual life, eternal life that you will have forever when you trust him as your Savior. So here's the proof. Without any question, he had been dead. These people were coming all the way from Jerusalem, 15 furlongs, in order to comfort Mary and Martha. Now, on the program tomorrow, we will begin with verse 20, and we will see the reaction of Martha and Mary to the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope you will be with us tomorrow.